I've talked several times on this show about how privacy, in particular online privacy and identity theft, all are merging together as major issues here in the 21st century, and they come together with my next guest. Her name is Rebecca Jeske. She's from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, an organization that works on those fronts, whether online or off, and I've invited her to join me here this afternoon to talk about a lawsuit that the EFF has filed against AT&T this week. Rebecca, welcome to KMOX.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What are you upset with AT&T about?
Well, AT&T has been collaborating with the government to give the NSA direct access into its databases as part of their warrantless surveillance of ordinary Americans.
What does that mean? When you say that they have given them access to their database, does that mean everything about their customers and their phone calls?
Quite a bit about the customers and about their phone calls. There are a number of different databases that have been put together in a big database called Daytona, and we believe that AT&T has given the NSA direct access into all this data, historical data, so it can mine it, as well as also collaborating in the other surveillance of American citizens of wiretapping.
Okay, now what's wrong with that if the government is doing this for security reasons, needs the information, wants to know who people have been calling? What's wrong with taking a look at that data?
Well, there's some very specific federal law about this, the Telecom Act and the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. The federal law passed by Congress that says that this data is private and that law enforcement needs a warrant to get access to it. They even specified penalties for victims. We want AT&T to obey the law.
Now, when you say they need a warrant, is there such a warrant that a government agency could get that would allow any agency the access to another company's complete records about everything that their clients do?
They certainly could go to the FISA court and see if FISA would allow them to do that. FISA has been, in general, very sympathetic to the government's request for data.
FISA is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, which is charged by law with keeping this stuff secret and taking it in and issuing subpoenas or okaying subpoenas. I guess they don't issue them, but they okay subpoenas for this surveillance. That was not done in this case?
No.
Okay, so what does the government do with this information? I just read a piece a few days ago that says that they are actually gathering so much information they can't possibly be analyzing all of it.
Yes, and there was also a report in the New York Times recently that had some FBI agents complaining that the leads that they were asked to follow up on were all dead ends. We believe that this project is not helping to keep Americans safe.
All right, now AT&T recently merged with SBC and is keeping the AT&T name, but those of us here in this area are mostly SBC customers. I haven't read through the fine print of those agreements, you know, the ones online where you just automatically click agree without actually reading them, or those pieces of paper that come with your bill that you never read because you're so annoyed at how high your bill got. Does anything in there say we can give your data to the government?
In fact, there's stuff in there that we believe that specifically says that they won't. The federal law is very clear. AT&T knows the law, and the other telecoms do. We believe that it violated its customers' trust by giving this data over.
Do we know of anybody who has been specifically injured in some way? In other words, a plaintiff that you can point to and say, well, because this information was given up, this guy or this woman had this happen to them?
Well, we have three plaintiffs associated with the case, we think that a privacy violation, the fact that the government is going through information that you believed was private by federal law and also telecom policy, that is a violation in and of itself.
Are you looking for monetary relief for the plaintiffs, or are you looking for what are you looking for?
Well, primarily we're looking for this surveillance to stop, this illegal surveillance to stop. We are, in fact, asking for damages because Congress allowed for that in federal law, allowed victims to receive damages. We believe that those damages could be as much as $21,000 for each affected person.
But again, to go back, and $21,000 is not all that much here, but when you're talking about the huge number of people that AT&T and SBC have served, by the way, is SBC involved in this or is it pre-merger?
Right now, it's pre-merger.
Okay, so still, AT&T had a huge number of clients. You multiply that by $21,000, we're probably talking billions of dollars here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But again, you don't have anybody specifically who has been injured by this action yet.
Well, we think the privacy violation is an injury.
Okay, but if the government had gotten a subpoena, either through FISA or through a non-secret court, and had gotten this same information from AT&T, would something wrong have been done then?
Not with a warrant, no. Not if they met the legal standard.
So it's the warrantless part that got you?
Yes.
Okay. Talking with Rebecca Jeske from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, we were talking about the lawsuit that they have filed as a class action against AT&T for divulging information from their database to the NSA without a warrant, which she says is a privacy problem there, and that the government was violating. I'm guessing you're going with the Fourth Amendment as part of that violation, Rebecca?
Yes, the Fourth Amendment is part of it in addition to federal law.
Okay, now as we talk about online privacy, which I think is a big deal, I want to play you a piece of audio from a guest I had on a couple of days ago, Mark Cuban, who is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. That's what he's most famous for, but also involved in entertainment and online delivery of all sorts. He's in the movie business now on HDNet and other things, but also has several websites and was involved in Broadcast.com back in the day before he sold out to Yahoo and became a billionaire from that. But I asked him about his concerns about privacy in light of the recent Google controversy and other online privacy issues. Here's what Mark Cuban had to say.
Well, I'll just tell you what I do personally. I don't care. I don't think privacy is an issue at all. I mean, if I'm really concerned about privacy, I'm more concerned about my mailbox. You know, I bet you, Paul, I could go up to your house and break into your mailbox in 30 seconds or less. You know, we're so much more at risk there. And that's not, to say that personal privacy, for some people, they're concerned about it, but I just don't think your privacy is really dictated by your IP address and your activities online. And in terms of your searches, what you do there, I just don't see it as the issue that some people make it out to be. I really, really, really don't. I mean, I think there's so many other ways that we can or would be monitored if someone was trying to crack into our privacy that what Google's being asked to do is really not that big a deal.
So I wanted your reaction to that, Rebecca.
Well, I don't agree with Mark on a couple of levels. One is, he can say personally that he doesn't care, which is a perfectly reasonable opinion, but I don't think that most Americans agree with him. I think that the big the news attention that was directed to this Google subpoena and the outrage that we saw a lot of people express about possibly having that data handed over shows that many people in America are concerned.
So when he says that his companies, and I asked him later on, what do your companies do in this? He said, we don't share our information and we do keep it private. I find it interesting that personally he doesn't care about all that sort of stuff. And what really made me laugh was when he said, my mailbox isn't all that secure. I realized, well, you know what, that's true. Anybody could pull up to anybody's mailbox on the street and reach in and grab stuff out. But here we are in the 21st century. I don't think I get very much sensitive information by regular mail anymore.
No, you probably don't. And on the other hand, people use Google as an extension of a lot of their thoughts and fears and concerns and worries. Google is the place you go if you think you have, if your doctor mentioned a disease you might have and you're worried about it. Google is the place you go when you are worried about your job. And these are things that we don't want just anybody being able to know about us.
Yeah, people always make the argument, well, if I'm not doing anything wrong, why should I worry about this? I think you should worry about it anytime somebody's looking over your shoulder, whether you're doing right or wrong.
There's just a lot of things you don't want the world to know about you, and you take it for granted that you can, have this conversation with Google in the middle of the night without Big Brother over your shoulder. And I think that this situation showed that Big Brother could be over your shoulder. I mean, even if Google wins and the Department of Justice isn't able to get this information from it, Google still has that information.
One of the slogans that you guys at the EFF use is that you are defending freedom in the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like that freedom is under attack even more now than ever?
I do, actually. Specifically with warrantless wiretapping of ordinary Americans is one level where privacy is being threatened. But on a more more basic level. You know, what you search for is being logged, and Google is keeping it, and someone could get access to that now or later.
Maybe what we need is some sort of system to make sure that Google isn't gathering that information in the first place. Keep it from Google. If we're really all that worried about somebody looking over our shoulder, why aren't we worried about Google gathering all this information about us?
Yeah, you know, there are a couple ways to do it. You know, one is to use a kind of anonymizing software. We have a link to one at EFF called Tor, which helps you anonymize your activities online.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I go online, nobody, even the businesses I'm doing business with, have any idea it's me unless I want them to.
Unless you want them to. Now, you know, you do lose some of the smoothness of your internet experience, which is something that I think people should understand, is that there are trade-offs. I mean, when you go to Amazon and it says, you know, hello, and gives you recommendations based on other things that you've bought, lots of people think that's a very useful service. But Amazon does that because it has that information about you. If you don't give it information, you don't get that back.
Is there a way to set up the software so that certain sites you do share information with and certain sites you don't?
You sort of have to turn it off and on for that kind of thing.
Oh, I see.
And so it is, but what is true, that consumers need to sit down and make decisions for themselves about what they feel is appropriate and what they don't, because these are all choices. And it's very legitimate to say, okay, I want this company to have my information. They're giving me a service that I want. But you do need to be careful.
Do you use this Tor software when you're online?
Actually, I don't, because I like many of the personalization features that I get with my browser.
But doesn't it bother you that some places are getting information about you, whether you want them to or not?
It does. It does. And certainly here at EFF, we have been I have been saying publicly that we would like Google to not collect all this information, and frankly, the other search engines, because Google is not the only one that's collecting this information. Yahoo and MSN handed it over. So, you know, we wish that these huge databases of you know, people's personal information were not kept by these companies.
Well, I think the middle F in the title of your organization is right on the money. It's the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and we're right on the frontier here of this 21st century technology and the questions about how it affects us in our privacy and in our personal lives and in our identities as well. And these are certainly going to be issues going forward for years to come. I thank you for your time today, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Rebecca Jeske from the Electronic Frontier Foundation here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.